This podcast is meant for mature audiences only and contains strong sexual language.
We are so excited to announce our partnership with Alt Playground, a lifestyle site dedicated to helping you find your next adventure. There are a ton of sites out there for non-monogamy, but what sets Alt Playground apart is their emphasis on being inclusive of a host of ethically non-monogamous groups and sexual preferences. So not only will you find swingers on there, but a host of other groups spanning the spectrum of sexual orientation and gender. Hence, the emphasis on alt. When they say they are an open community, they really mean open. So if you're tired of being pigeonholed into a label or looking for something a little different, check out Alt Playground by heading to altplayground.net. Now let's start the show.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Black and Kinky Lifestyle Podcast. This is the Bomber.
And the Bear.
And you have entered into the world where we talk about our opinions, our feelings, and experiences in the swinger lifestyle as a black couple. So welcome. There's a lot we want to talk about in this episode. So this will be our 56th episode.
Oh, okay. 56. We have a lot of episodes.
We do.
I mean, these plus our pillow talks it's just a lot of content.
Right. I think technically on SoundCloud, we've created 67 entries. And that's pretty big. I'm proud of that. So this episode, though, despite how many episodes we've had, this will be the third episode where we've dedicated an episode to the topic of race in the lifestyle. Right. So this is Race in the Lifestyle, Part 3, The Thin Line Between Race Play and Racism. We'll get to the topic in a second, but first, there's a few things, I want to talk about. So I want to mention that NK Swingers was on Horrible Decisions, so shout out to them.
Yeah.
I actually have some things to say about this shit.
What?
First of all, NK Swingers, you know, we follow them on Instagram, and they follow us, and we like their stuff, and they like our stuff, and we've never quite talked because I've always seen NK Swingers as more of a... like party promoters,
right,
you know,
yeah.
And you know, all of a sudden I see this post out of nowhere talk about they got a podcast now called Tribe Chat.
Well, yeah. And I think they had it, like, I would always see them doing lives, and doing like talking at their, events, but I never tuned in cause I'm like, I'm like an anti-live person. Like, I don't want to be the one awkward person that's just on live with the people. Mm-hmm. And like, there's nobody else there.
Right.
So
right.
I'm like, I'm always afraid to like go on live.
Right.
But I see when they're happening.
Yeah.
So I was saying that to say, like, I think they had previously done the Tribe Chat as their lives.
Right.
At their events.
And it would be at their events, which was pretty cool. But I'm like, yo, if they're entering into this podcast arena, we just had a Voices in the Lifestyle series of posts, and they would have like been, they would have definitely been included in that.
Absolutely.
So I was just like, yo, if I knew they had a podcast coming, I would have reached out to them. But like, yo, whether you have just a trailer or just, you know, just some thoughts on paper, we still would have put y'all on.
Right.
So, I mean, I would have appreciated a little bit of a countdown or something. but yeah, they have a podcast out now called Tribe Chat. So this is a black pair. They're not quite a couple.
No, they're not. He's married and she's single. So it's Omari the Rebel and Pegasus.
Right. Awesome names. And they're located outside of New York, BK.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were on Horrible Decisions, which we would have loved to also have been on Horrible Decisions, because Horrible Decisions is an awesome show. Check it out. So we're happy for them. That was a big like plug.
Yeah.
So I listened to that episode, and there were just a few highlights from that episode that I thought were interesting. So they sat down and just kind of represented black swingers on the show, but there were just all these other little topics that came out, and I just needed to talk about them. So one thing that came out of that episode, I don't know if you were there when they were talking about this, but they were talking about the crackdown on sex workers online. And I thought that was interesting. There was something shared about Utah in particular, and how there might have been some China level controls over content that I think, as sex educators, I alluded to this on one of our posts on Instagram one day about, like, my fear that we will get shut down because somebody will put us on the sex worker list because we're a sex positive podcast. So that was interesting. Also, apparently dolphins have orgies and they rape. That's how the episode began. That was more of a horrible decisions thing, but you know, dolphins, like, are one of the few species,
I know they're highly intelligent.
Right. And they have sex for pleasure. Like, I remember hearing that as a kid. But I didn't know dolphins had orgies.
Yeah, I didn't know. I mean, what else you doing in the ocean, though? You ain't got to work. We just all naked swimming around.
Right.
Might as well.
I'm saying that would be a really interesting Little Mermaid sketch. Actually, like, the thought of, like, horny dolphins, I feel like we saw that in a movie.
It was in that stupid ass swinger movie at Hito.
Yeah, that's right. Dolphins always seem like a friendly animal. They look like they have, like, they look like they have a permanent smile.
Yeah.
But the fact that they are one of they can rape, like, they commit acts of rape, like, that,
I don't know about all that.
I don't know. Well, if they have sex for pleasure, I could imagine.
So how do you know? Like, how do you know that the dolphin didn't consent?
Holy shit, you just blew my mind. All right, we're going to have to follow up on this one, ladies and gentlemen.
Or how do you know that the dolphin didn't consent to non-consensual consent?
Wait a minute. You're talking about, like, rape play? Yeah. Like, what if it was rape play? We're going to get into that, actually, in this episode. Because that could be a possibility.
I'm just saying, we don't know.
We don't know. We have
unless
not
somebody speaks
code.
Dolphin and they just didn't let us know.
Right.
I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Is there a dolphin signal for consent? I don't think the rules for consent exist in the animal world, though. Like, I don't think so. Like, I think motherfuckers in the animal world is just raping. I mean, I think
because you can have nonverbal consent, right?
Yeah, they just, like, bend over. Like, the female species usually just bends, like the lioness, like, sometimes she just, like, lays there.
So they don't have to talk to give consent, but they can revoke consent by, like, leaving.
Or by scratching a nigga up.
Yeah.
Right.
This is very interesting. If you're, like, a zoologist, a behavioral zoologist, let us know.
Or just a freak nasty motherfucker that just likes seeing animals rape each other. We'd like to hear from you. Okay. So the other thing that came up was dicks not being on the menu for women at swinger clubs because, quote, they can get dick anywhere. And I wanted to dig into this because I got some shit to say about this. So I don't know. Do you remember hearing this on the podcast?
I do.
Okay. So this was said, both hosts mentioned this.
Right.
And I totally get it. Like, I totally got where they were coming from. One thing that we talked about on our Patreon was this BBC issue.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Somebody had posted online that they were looking for BBC. It was a white couple looking for BBC, and they wanted some advice on what they needed to do. And there was an indication that they might have been afraid, that they were scared to pursue this. Mm-hmm. And you felt some degree of offense to that.
I was offended.
Okay.
I was fully offended.
All right. And why were you offended?
Because they used BBC. And two, they said they were scared. And I'm like, but what are you scared of, though?
Okay. So... And what I said was they're probably scared of they could be scared of the reaction that you're having right now. of offending somebody because you actually want a black body in your bedroom. Like, that is what they want. Like, they're making it very clear. And I think you have a problem because there's some fetishizing going on there.
Yes.
Some fetishizing and objectifying.
Okay. Now, what I was basically, now my counter argument, now I think you're right that there is some things going on there. But what I was saying was, I think that when I listen to podcasts featuring black women, single now, mm-hmm. I'm not talking about folks like yourself that are married, y'all privileged motherfuckers that are, mm-hmm. that have a dude you waking up to every day. I'm not talking about them, but I'm talking about single women who are in the dating scene. Mm-hmm. Okay. They talk about black men in the same, like, not really with BBC. They don't really use that kind of language. But when you talk about objectifying, like, when I hear single women talking about black men, it's all about what they got, what they look like, what they can do for them. And that's it. You're talking about, like, I don't hear women talking about, well, I don't know if he's a good person. I want to get to know his spirit. I want to know if he's humble. Like, no, you don't hear that information. Like, yeah, how does he perform in the bedroom? Like, where can he take me? Like, what is he working with? Like, we already get objectified by y'all too. Like, I feel like we get it from all sides. So what I was basically saying is, I think what we also get is, like, the negative stuff. Like, he better not do this. He better not do that. I can't believe he did this. And there are all these, like, really high expectations for black men. But I feel like when you come across white people or white women in particular talking about they want that BBC, although it's objectifying, I would argue it's objectifying from multiple sides, like, at least here, it's like on a positive level. Like, they want, like that BBC is like a good thing. Like, that's what they want, and they see it as something that's valuable. And so,
yeah, but my question is, like, why do they see it that it's valuable? And the other point that I brought up is too, that, like, yeah, like, black women have higher expectations for of their black men. And so it's just because white people are easier because they have lower expectations of you?
Well, no. So I would say the term easier is really important for you to just really break down in your head right now. Mm-hmm. Yes, if I go in a swinger party and I'm looking to fuck something, and there's a white person or white woman that I'm interested in fucking, and she wants to fuck me specifically because I'm black, and that ends up being a very easy transaction, mm-hmm. in the playroom, mm-hmm. yes, that is pleasurable. Now, you brought up the word expectation. I would argue expectation is important. I don't think it's sexy. Well, no. I don't think it's... When you said expectation, my dick went soft immediately, okay? Because, you know, expectations is like a red light word in the lifestyle, mm-hmm. first of all. Now, expectations is important if you're looking for a relationship, but we're talking about the lifestyle here. Mm-hmm. Like, we're talking about fucking.
Yes.
I get why you get upset with stuff like this, and I get why a lot of other folks get upset. There are some guys that get upset about stuff like this, and I think regardless, everybody wants to be treated as a person and not just sort of, diminished down to their genitalia. But I think right here for this person who is asking the question, it's more of an issue about how they approach black men.
It's not like, well, it wouldn't be like that in my presence.
What, them saying BBC, using BBC words? Mm-hmm. Well, no, that would shut you off immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, I think when we go to PCAP, if there's anybody who's interested in playing with me because they want a BBC, they know not to say that shit. Like, they will know not to say, don't,
BBC,
yeah.
You a queen of spades, none of that shit. Looking for some chocolate, ebony, caramel, no.
No. See, now they're going to walk up to me and like, oh, Bomber, you have such a nice smile. You want to play? Man, they're really looking for that BBC. They got a Queen of Spades tattoo in their inner thigh. They're going to hide it with a Band-Aid. Mm. Be like, this is where I got my COVID vaccine shot. All right. So, so anyway, about NK Swingers, if we're ever in New York, and we do go to New York, we'll have to check out one of their parties because they sound really, really wild. Okay, so let's move on to the hit list.
It's time for the hit list.
So no one's really like tickled my fancy that we've been watching in the shows that we've been watching lately. Although, like, I feel like we haven't even watched anything this week.
You don't like the dude who plays Falcon on Winter Soldier and Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
No, I mean, he's Anthony Mackie. He's all right.
That's his name.
But no, I don't really like his voice, and his acting is just so no.
But he probably got a BBC.
Hey, not every black man has a BBC, first of all.
The most beautiful thing, I was listening to a podcast the other day. The most beautiful thing I heard was that if it's a black dick, it's a BBC, no matter what the size is. And it was the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. It's like, if it's black, it's a BBC. That's like, nobody's really going to measure that shit.
This is true.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, but, you know, today we got vaccinated, our first shot.
Yeah.
Going to the streets. The streets. I call it our name. I was in the line.
Wait, what did you just do?
It's the meme.
The meme. I hope everybody's familiar with that. We're going to have to put it in the show notes because it's hilarious. Like, can you describe that meme?
So you found the original one. When I pulled it up, I showed you the original one. But it's just this guy, like, singing this song. He's basically talking about the anticipation of being able to be social again and be outside. And it's, I'm going to the streets. The streets are calling my name.
And he's like fucking dancing. He has like this African accent.
Yeah.
It's really hilarious.
And so people are like doing TikToks and reels where they're, you know, either with their suitcase or they're just dancing.
Wait, so how does it go?
I'm going to the streets. The streets are calling my name. I'm going to the streets.
There's like a whole dance she's doing. Yeah, the whole thing.
And so that's been playing in my head all day. Anyway, I was standing in the line doing the little registration. And like the dude was like, he was helping me. He was like, and he had a deep voice too. Because I think, I don't know, I was being, I couldn't figure out like where the continue arrow was. And he was like, you just touch the arrow on the side to continue and you'll be done. And I'm like, what? Where? He's like, the red arrow. I'm like, oh, down here? He's like, no, on the side. But his voice and like his eyes, he had like those bedroom eyes, you know, because he had a mask on so I can see his whole face. Mm-hmm. But he looked like he was sexy. Mm-hmm. But he probably thought I was dumb as fuck because I couldn't see the arrow.
I made the same fucking mistake. Like, it's this giant arrow on the side. But no, it's not just you, because there were some parts where there was something on the bottom that said continue onto the next screen. And then, like, on some screens, there was just, like, this arrow. Like, it wasn't even an arrow. It was just, like, a bracket.
Yeah.
On the side of the screen. And you just had to press that. Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
All right. But the guy who helped you out was good looking.
Yes.
All right.
I think so. I mean, his teeth could have been fucked up, but I don't know.
Right. No, it seems like masks have just added a whole level of attraction. You know what I wonder? I wonder if, like, people met somebody during COVID and they just had a mask on a lot of the times and they just, they haven't gotten used to, like half their face, seeing half their face all the time. And they just kind of let it slide.
Yeah.
And now that people are probably going to be taking their masks off, it's going to be interesting. There are probably going to be a lot of breakups that happen. A lot of people probably settled for half a good-looking face during the last year.
Or not even that. Like, they just didn't have as many options. And so they were like, all right, I need to, you know, pod up with somebody. So it's going to be you. But now we can be free.
Right.
So get the fuck out of my house.
Oh, it's going to be a dark time this summer, boy. Oh, because during the summer is when a lot of breakups would happen just regularly now. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, there's been a lot of little fuck buddy relationships that got extended.
Yeah.
That sure are about to, them deals are about to close. Yeah. You better get it in while you can. Actually, the woman who helped me out, the woman who actually put the needle in my arm today was pretty cute. She had tattoos. She was young Latinx, light-skinned chick that I feel like she was from New York. I felt New York energy. But she is not on my hit list. The woman who's on my hit list actually also happens to be Latinx. Diana Guerrero? I think I'm saying that right. Guerrero? Well, anyway, she plays on the Doom Patrol as Crazy Jane, but you might remember her on Orange as the new on Orange is the New Black. She played I think the name of her character was Maritza Ramos. Mm-hmm. She was the one who got deported at the end of, I think, the last season.
Spoiler.
And I mean, damn, if you haven't watched it by now. She was always really cute to me. She was cute on that show, but like she plays this really crazy character on Doom Patrol. I think she's sexy as that crazy character. But let us know who your hit list targets are. Who have you seen on television or pop culture that is really kind of got your panties in a little bit of a bunch?
Yeah, twist. Or just in your daily life, mm-hmm, as you're going about doing things.
Hitless bitches.
You are listening to the Black and Kinky Lifestyle Podcast.
Hey y'all, we are so excited this year to be one of the many podcasts featured at Podcastapalooza in South Beach, Miami this May. And we will be even more excited if you can come join us. It's going to be amazing. There are going to be topless pool parties, theme nights, and fun educational seminars. You will get to meet us as well as several podcasters, including We Got a Thing, Swinging Outside the Lines, Casual Swinger, Monogamous Marriage, Taurus Souls, Two Hot Wives, Ever Swingers, Savic Swingers, and of course, the legendary artist formerly known as Swinging Down Under, Wonderlust Swingers. Podcastapalooza will be happening from Friday, May 21st to Monday, May 24th. Please check out our website at blackandkinkylifestyle.com to purchase tickets. And we would like to have a meetup for Black lifestylers and the people who love them. So come out and support. 2020 has been an awful year is an understatement. And we need this. And you probably need it too. I almost forgot to mention the hotel that this is taking place at is beautiful. It's on the beach. There's this beautiful butterfly sculpture that I'm definitely Instagramming, and there's just this beautiful penthouse and pool area and all this shit, art deco, classic South Beach, Miami. So yes, we want to see you at Podcastapalooza this May. Stay sexy.
Let's get into the topic of the day. Again, this is going to be our third part on race and the lifestyle, and it is titled The Yucks and Yum of Race Play. So I'm going to say a few things before we get into this episode. This episode may not be for the faint of heart. Like, we're going to get into some really deep stuff when it comes to race play that might be triggering for folks. And it could get really kind of scary. That's just sort of a disclaimer for the topic. We always keep it entertaining and keep it fun. But, you know, some of this stuff might be like, holy shit, I can't believe that this is a thing
for some people. It may be a little heavy.
Right. So this topic was actually inspired by an email we recently got. And I'm going to ask the Bell to read this one out.
My wife and I are new to the lifestyle. I'm 32 and she's 34. We are both Black. We plan on swinging with a couple, but decided to both play separately first. She is currently seeking a white male partner for her solo play. Last night, we came across an adult video while surfing on Reddit. In this particular video, the white male was calling the Black female racial slurs, N-word with the hard R. Just to make sure we were on the same page, I asked my wife would she ever allow a white man to talk to her in that way. Her response was that she didn't know and it was a possibility. This made me extremely angry. When I tried to get clarification as to why it was a maybe and not a hell no, she told me she didn't want to talk about it. I don't want to push her away from the lifestyle we just started, but I can't help but be bothered by this. Do I have a right to be upset even though this is a fantasy for her? How should I handle the situation?
All right. So do you have an answer for this listener?
I think absolutely he has a right to be upset. Not every black person's experience, period, or experience with the N-word, particularly with a hard R, is the same. And so his experience with that and his experience with white racism, in particular racism from white people, could have just triggered that response. Like, because he would never, you know, allow that to happen to him. Based on, you know, what we're reading here. And so the fact that his partner, his chosen partner would, is very, it's reflecting, you know, it's like he's projecting his feelings on her.
Right. And how could you allow that?
How could you allow that? And so then he's like, well, there's something, you know, wrong going on with me.
Right.
Or something like that.
Right.
So I think he has every right to be upset by it. Because you're allowed to feel how you're going to feel. You know, that's just because she's okay with it doesn't necessarily mean that he has to be okay with it. Now, how should he handle the situation? I think they need to talk about it. And he has to be in a space where he's not projecting his feelings and he's not being defensive so that she can be fully open and transparent about, you know, why that desire is there for her.
Right. Yeah, I think that, yeah, so ditto. I mean, I was thinking, you know, I was imagining if you had came up to me and told me this, like, first of all, you would already know that I would be upset by it because of like how racially conscious we are in this household about the history of racism and slavery and, you know.
I don't know, because you're a little less sensitive than I am.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think there's a difference between being, you know, less sensitive and like being okay with a white man calling you the N-word with the hard R. I mean, that's a little extreme, very extreme. And I would like, I would not feel good about that. At the same time, you know, I don't think it's something that I would need to like scream and yell at you about.
Right. No.
But I think that this is one of those things that would be hard to swallow.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's hard to swallow for you does not quite take away the reality that this is a fantasy for her, if that's in fact what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not going away.
No.
And I think that you sort of have to be in a place where you feel like you're ready to hear about what can be behind that fantasy for her. This is one of those times where I would literally I would do research into this and figure out what this is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the more you hear and understand where it could be coming from, the more open you might be to hearing more about what she has to say. Unfortunately for her, I think she's in a situation where there might be a great degree of shame behind her wanting this fantasy. And her feeling that shame, I mean, you kind of have to think about if that's something that you're comfortable with, or do you want her to be open with you about what this is? You know, I'm always on the side of like, if this is truly your partner, then, you know, I would side on like, you know, communicating about this and really, really making a effort to try to understand it if it's something that she wants. And it sounds like if she's looking for a white partner, there's something going on there. Mm-hmm. And like, if you guys want to jump into this lifestyle and that's what she wants and that's her fantasy, like understand it. We'll have more to say about what might need to happen, or what are some things to look out for if this is something you want to pursue. But right now we're going to go into this rabbit hole of race play. I want to just mention that I've jumped into this rabbit hole and I am not an expert on it. This episode is really about sort of our understanding of what race play is and what our feelings about it is. And hopefully at some point we'll have somebody who can speak directly to this. Mm-hmm. But race play has sort of been out there in the shadows. I think to a large degree, when we talk about like Queen of Spades and BBCs, we're sort of jumping into the world of race play just a little bit, but it can get much deeper than that. And so this episode is really going to be about that. All right. So let's talk about what race play is. So according to the Urban Dictionary, which is like official, right? An avant-garde, but increasingly accepted form of sexual role play in which people of different races consensually reject all political correctness in favor of sexual pleasure. I didn't like this definition. In practice, this often represents people of color role-playing as slaves or, interestingly enough, people of Jewish heritage role-playing as prisoners, and they may have a dominant person playing with them as somebody in Nazi uniform. So according to Ariana Cruz, I think that's how you pronounce her name, she's the author of The Color of Kink, which I'm reading right now. So according to her, race play is a BDSM practice that explicitly uses race to script power exchange and the dynamics of domination and submission. So for our discussion, we're considering race play to be any consensual sexual activity that uses race to build sexual tension. So this wouldn't necessarily just include like interracial sex where people are from different races happen to be having sex. Mm-hmm. But if that interracial sex includes like some kind of role play or play where there is a clear power exchange based particularly on race or use of racially charged language like the N-word, mm-hmm. We would consider that race play, and that can span, right? These are very general definitions. So we're going to get into some examples, and then I'll ask you what some of your feelings about it are. So I think when it comes to race play, so Belle, I'm going to ask you to speak off the cuff here. But like when it comes to like black bulls and white cuckolds, mm-hmm. That's a good example of race play, probably a really common example you'll find in porn too. But why don't you just explain this one in your own words? What does this typically look like?
So it's when a black single male is, you know, participating with a white couple, mm-hmm. and usually he'll have sex with the white woman while the white husband or man partner is there watching. Mm-hmm. There may be like some literal restraint on his penis and balls. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There may be some humiliation. There doesn't always have to be a humiliation or berating a part of the sex act, but sometimes that is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes he'll have to clean up after the bull.
Yeah. Like unfortunately licking cum off of his wife.
Yeah.
This can get really dark. So I heard scenarios where, like, this is the cuckolds, like, black bull dynamic. Mm-hmm. So I've heard scenarios where it can go as far as the black bull actually being, like, part of this couple's life. Mm-hmm. like the domination becomes like integrated into their lives.
And fathering children.
And fathering children. Mm-hmm. That's the dark one. Like the thought of a black bull, like a black bull impregnating the wife becomes part of the play. Mm-hmm. Again, those are really extreme circumstances. I think typically these are like one-off play scenarios.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think couples will have a, you know, a regular bull that they play mm-hmm. with, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So yes. Right. A regular bull that they play with, but I don't know if it's common for the bull to be like part of their lives and living in the house and shit. Like, I think those are extreme mm-hmm. cases. So there's also the case where there's like white dominance of a black sub or submissive. You know, I think in BDSM, you know, BDSM is all about power dynamics. Right. And so where it can, BDSM can involve race play, where there is a white dominant that may be restraining, flogging, spanking a black sub, but it could be the other way around. It's interesting. If you look up like race play, one of the most common things you see, actually, interestingly enough, is like black women, black female doms, mm-hmm. Spanking the shit out of white men, like mm-hmm. white men just wanting to be dominated. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I think if you look on what's the name of the site? FetLife?
Yeah.
You'll also see the reverse, where there's like a white woman or an Asian woman dominating a black submissive who mm-hmm. might be restrained. He might have a collar on or some shit. Yeah. And she is just humiliating him in some cases, whipping him. And the fact that he's black is a big part of it. They might be using the N-word and all of that shit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've said it in passing, like, with our dibbling and dabbling in the BDSM world, like, if I'm going to try flogging and all that shit, it just can't be a white man.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I said it as a joke, but it's, like, for real, too, because, just psychologically, I'm not doing it. And right. I'm not going to put that optic out there.
Mm-hmm.
For me. I'm not still talking about anybody else, but just for me.
Right.
You ain't gonna see my black ass getting whooped by no white man. Or white woman, for that matter.
I wanted to... So the other example I brought up the Jewish example.
Yeah. Which is, I hadn't heard about that. But.
Yeah, that was interesting. So so this Color of Kink book I'm reading had brought that up quite a bit, where there are some folks of Jewish descent or some folks that might identify as Jewish that one of the things they might desire is being dominated by somebody in Nazi like mm-hmm. regalia or mm-hmm. uniform, and that being a part of the play, like they are literally you know, in a camp or some shit. Also, what I also found is that in like gay social networks, when it comes mm-hmm. to BDSM, like the cop and black arrestee or perpetrator dynamic, that one is a thing. That kind
yeah,
of play.
You said, when you told me that, I was like, that hurt.
Yeah, that one that one got me. Again, I don't know how common that is. I actually read about that from an author that I'll reference later on, that was talking about his experience. But it's interesting that when it comes to like BDSM and race play, a lot of the references I found are in the LGBTQIA plus. Thank you. They're coming from that community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not seeing a lot of like heterosexual circles or heteronormative circles sort of playing around with this or being able to talk about it. And there could be a number of reasons why that is, mm-hmm. but it was just an interesting observation. What are your general feelings about race play? Let's start there.
It's not for me.
race, I have a race play. I don't know if it's a race play fantasy.
It is a race play fantasy.
Okay, so it is a race play fantasy. But when I told it to you, it's not something that upset you.
No.
Okay, so that's what I kind of want to dig into, because I feel like there's some kinds of race play that you're actually okay with and other kinds you're not. Mm-hmm. So any play that involves a black person being called the N-word by somebody white, just it disturbs me. Mm-mm. And I'll talk about why that is in a moment. But when black men are like objects of pleasure, I'm not quite bothered by that.
Say more.
That's part of my fantasy.
I mean, when they're objects of pleasure, you're not bothered by that. Okay, got it.
Yeah, I'm not bothered by that. Mm-hmm. So let me just say what my fantasy is real quick. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's my fantasy. So basically, I am like, this is like antebellum pre-Civil War South. Mm-hmm. I'm working in the fields. Mm-hmm. I'm sweaty and shirtless. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now there is a master on this plantation, and his wife and daughter are constantly staring at me, mm-hmm, in the field. And they are curious and they really want to know what I'm about. Eventually there's a whole thing where the master has to like go out and travel and do his white man the master shit and whatever the fuck these whatever the fuck these niggas was doing. and like there's a situation where first the daughter gets me. You know, I might come to her room or something, and, you know, one thing might lead to another. And then, like, the wife gets me, and then the daughter catches me with the wife. And then, like, I'm fucking both of them. Mm-hmm. And this is all while the master's, like, gone. So the master comes back, and, like, we're, like, sneaking to the fucking outhouse and, like, you know, taking, like, random trips to, like, I don't know, buy fucking cotton gins or whatever. And, like, fucking on the side, you know, and so it's a whole fantasy, but like the place where the fantasy comes from, it's interesting. Like it is to a degree rooted in like the traumas of slavery. Mm-hmm. Because like I can't begin to understand how horrific that was. But it was the powerlessness of slavery that was horrific for me. Mm-hmm. Just every time I read about it, it's like, you know, this country considered rape, family separation, murder and torture criminal. It's not like this country saw these things as okay, mm-hmm, but saw them as acceptable for this group of people at the same time. It's interesting, like this country had morals, but they weren't applied to this group of people. And if you were a slave, there was nothing you can do. Like you just could not escape from this. Mm-hmm. You were at the mercy of masters. And although there were slave rebellions, there were efforts to escape it. They all failed. Mm-hmm. And so...
Well, they didn't all fail.
But... What do you mean they didn't all fail?
There's slave rebellions in the Caribbean that didn't fail.
No. I'm talking about in the United States. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about in the U.S. If you were a slave in the U.S. and you attempted a rebellion, there were a couple of things that happened as a result. One, you got caught and you died, and then a whole bunch of other people got lynched that had nothing to do with it, just because white people were afraid and they needed to make a point. Mm-hmm. So given that horror, the power of desire that I believe black men just had, like white men couldn't take this away. Like white women wanted black men. Mm-hmm. And there was nothing they can do about that. And so it sort of flipped the script in my head. I know this is just a fantasy in my head, but it sort of flips the script to a degree. So that's where the fantasy comes from for me. it's never going to happen, and I'm okay dying if it never does. But it's just sort of in my head, and it's just like that would be interesting to do. Now, you didn't have a problem with that when I told you.
Well, when you first told me, you presented it as like a more so of a revenge fantasy.
Yeah.
And when you described it right then, it wasn't as revenge-y, but...
How wasn't it as... It's his wife and his daughter. Like, really?
I don't know. This is the first time you described it, it was just more revenge-y. And so what I was saying is, like, I don't necessarily have a problem when the power dynamic is flipped in favor of the oppressed person. Or the oppressed group.
Right. So you don't have a problem when there's like black dominant people right. on white submissives.
Correct.
Okay.
I think I'm okay with that.
Right.
Not that it matters what I am or am not okay with whatever people want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be more comfortable seeing a scene like that than seeing the reverse.
Right. And so we'll get into that. So like if you were in a playroom and a black woman was getting flogged by a white man.
I'm leaving.
And it was racially.
And I have yeah. left before.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it hasn't been racially, when there haven't been racial overtones.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, when it was just a white guy like flogging a black woman.
Right. Yeah.
And but he wasn't saying anything.
Right.
So did you did this happen on the Bliss Cruise?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He was really good with that whip.
He was very good. it was actually like hypnotizing how he was twirling around. But no.
Okay. So let's take a brief break. Whew, need to take a break here because this is getting real heavy.
Hey, fellow B&K fans. I know y'all are enjoying the show, but damn, we have to wait a month for each episode? I don't know about you, but that's way too long for me. That is one of the many reasons I support Bomber and Bell on Patreon. They release content on their Patreon every week. I really can't get enough of their Pillow Talk episodes, where they get real personal, and girl, it's like having a backstage pass to your favorite artist. It also doesn't hurt to hear my name shouted out every episode, and have ready access to the Bell and the Bomber through their private chat. If y'all want to join in the fun, head to www.patreon.com/blackandkinky and donate a few dollars a month to keep the show going. I know it's for a good cause and all that, but I'm just trying to get my fair share of this sexy-ass podcast. Speaking of which, I'm finna finish this episode.
Let's talk about... So there are some arguments around BDSM specialists, and this is one I've heard, so I'm going to read this out. So she says... And she's done this Nazi thing. So she says, I mean, if we are going to try to make parallels between the world outside of fetish and inside of fetish and claiming that people who engage in race play are racist, then we are going to have to bring in domestic violence, assault and battery, verbal abuse, gay bashing, civil liberties. We let this stuff go because no one will bat an eye to a guy being caned or nipple being clamped. Yet, you know, the racial context gets people up in arms, so you have to be consistent. If race play is off the limits, then so is impact play and other sorts of things that aren't kosher outside of fetish. So this person is saying that it should be okay, because there are all kinds of other disturbing things in, you know, BDSM, and power dynamics in play that are also accepted. So, for example, there's also rape play.
Mm-hmm.
There's also incest play,
mm-hmm.
where you're, an age play. So things like that. So should we be looking at race play with the same lens as these other things, even if there's like a black submissive to a white dominant person and it's racially charged?
I mean, I get the point.
Mm-hmm.
I completely comprehend intellectually the point.
And So this is the one I tend to be in agreement with, but I want to read you this quote from Donovan Trott. So he was the gay author I had mentioned earlier, and I think you're really gonna feel what he's saying. So he says, when it comes to sexual fantasies of others, it's hard to imagine that any white person engaging in race play sees their sexual partner, not to mention POC in general, as a complete equal when they flip that light on. Whether it's getting off on calling black men the N-word during sex or barring POC from your bed altogether, you don't get to do things that are racist, that racist people do, and not get called racist yourself. So do you think that's a fair argument?
Yes, absolutely.
So this one actually brings up a few thoughts for me. If you're a white person who enjoys this kind of play, like, I have questions.
I have so many questions.
Like, what is going on in your head? And the thing is, have you ever been in a situation where you were fucking and you got lost in the moment?
Oh yeah.
Like all, it's not just like consciously you were rejecting political correctness. There might have been things that were coming out of your mouth, that just that just came from deep, deep down in your soul. Do you ever remember saying anything or doing anything that tapped into your inner, like, I remember one time, this was with a woman who liked, I don't know, she liked to call me daddy a lot. Mm-hmm. And so she had some kind of incest thing going on. Mm-hmm. And so there were things I said to her. There were things I said to her in the heat of the moment that I don't know where that came from. But I was like, yeah, be a good girl for daddy. Be a good girl for daddy. No, get that ass up. You know.
I don't be having those partners, though, also.
What partners?
Partners that either talk a lot or are outliers when it comes to their sexual proclivities.
I mean, what about, like, what?
I just be getting regular niggas.
Am I a regular nigga? I feel like I'm one of your regular niggas because I don't think I've ever done anything. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, no,
actually, we've done some role play and all kind of some different stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I remember when we were in Naughty in New Orleans. I don't know what the fuck was going on.
I don't know either.
But I got lost in the moment. I was making you beg for this dick.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know what I was tapping into there.
Yes, that was definitely a different bomber. It wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad experience.
Mm-hmm.
But it was different.
Yeah. I know, I was like rock. I remember being solid. Mm-hmm. I was solid at that moment, like 100% stiffy. And it's like, y'all niggas know what I'm talking about. Like, it's one of those stiffies you know isn't going anywhere. Like, the fucking building can blow up. It will still be there. And you know you could just say anything and it's just going to be there. And I was just like, oh, I'm going to make you work for this dick because this is the magic
stick. And I was just like,
can we
just fuck?
No.
Damn.
See, you want regular niggas. You want regular nigga dick. Like, don't complain. Like, that's what you want.
I wasn't complaining. I was just saying that was the case.
So I think, getting back to the topic here, like, I think this is a good point. And just like going back to what our listener's question was, if you're going to play with a white person, in this way, don't just choose any white person. Yeah. Like, they got to know what they're doing. This shit is like performing surgery.
Yeah.
They got to know what's going on in their head and like constantly reassess. Like, this is a big responsibility, because it's dangerous. It's really dangerous. Because, you know, I happen to believe that we're all just a little bit racist. And this is like opening the door and letting it in, and it can be a beast and you might not be able to control it when it comes out. So So, I mean, anybody who engages in that play, I got questions. Not saying that there aren't, like, white people who can do this. Apparently there are, and they've made a career out of it, apparently.
I wonder.
Yeah. Also, one other point that he makes is, although this play is done in a controlled environment, after the play, white people get to dismiss themselves from the harmful realities for which that play is based on, and black people do not have this luxury.
That part. Ugh. Yes.
This is why you have a problem with the BBC and the Queen of Spades.
Yes. Ugh. So much.
Mm-hmm.
So much. It's because, like, you get to go back to your little world and act like racism doesn't exist,
mm-hmm.
and that it's not a thing, and you're not confronted with the realities of being black in America in 2021 unless you choose to, in this very specific context.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I'm black every day, all day. Now, I have arranged my life in a way that the brutalness of it is less apparent day to day, but it's still there.
Yeah. Well, we're confronted with it all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm thinking particularly of, and I'm not talking about like the every, like cops killing like unarmed black folks, like that, as horrific as that is. The frequency of it is not quite like, if every cop just stopped killing unarmed black people, we'd still have some serious problems in our community. So it's that's not the kind of thing I'm talking about. But the kind of thing that's going on in Georgia right now with the voter ID laws, those are the kind of things I worry about, because that's the power of the state systematically stopping people of color mainly from doing something that is very legal.
Yes.
But that is designed to affect political decisions. And it just brings me back to the civil rights movement. It brings me back to just a whole lot of things going on in this country on the legal and political front.
I mean, like, they've called it out. And I can't remember the particular woman, I believe, that tweeted it. It's Jim Crow, or man, this Jim Crow 2.0.
Right, right.
That's exactly what it is.
And it's just, it's interesting because I feel like the country has a very, like, a very short memory span. But this is like that was no exaggeration. Like Jim Crow used the arm of the law to make all of this shit seem okay. And you got these men in suits saying all kinds of, making all kinds of excuses for why this law, these laws are necessary. And it's literally to stop the black vote from having power in Georgia. That's what it's for.
White supremacy.
Yes.
That's what they're trying to do.
So, all right.
But that being said, yes, racism is pervasive. It is unyielding and it is everywhere. And while while race play is not for me, I cannot willingly choose to engage in actions that require me to confront that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, again, this comes from The Color of Kink. And it's from a sub, and she's describing her... She's describing her experience with race play. So I'll read this one. So alone in the darkness of my quarters, my mind is reliving the scene of a few nights ago. I can feel my mistress's body beneath me. I can feel her voice, raspy and sexual, in my ear. Fuck, nigga. That's what I bought you for. With little, if any, mechanical aid I come. My orgasm is sudden and powerful. For a brief second, I am exhausted and happy. But in only a moment, there is a little voice creeping into the back of my consciousness. You should not be turned on to the word nigga. This brings up another tension, I feel like, when it comes to race play, between being in a position where you feel like you're part of a Black collective identity, or that you have to represent your Black people in all of your interactions, including the interactions you have in the bedroom, as well as your personal agency or your freedom to engage in the kinds of sexual activities or the kinds of play that bring you pleasure. Mm-hmm. So, there was this author, her name was Susan Skatanis. I hope I'm pronouncing that name right. Probably not. But she talks a lot about how the collective voice can become another voice of oppression to the personal agency of Black people. So said another way, like me feeling like I have to represent my Black people or my people can represent another point of oppression for me if it stops me from engaging in race play because I feel some sense of shame or that I'm betraying my people, but it's actually something that might bring me pleasure. So there's that, like, and I feel like this is like outside of like play. I feel like Black people face this kind of thing all the time. Specifically Black folks who bring a white husband or wife home to meet the family, they face this shit. Like between the love that they feel for this person as a human being and how they represent the culture or their people, by failing to marry someone within their own race. Mm-hmm. Okay. So do you have like anything to say about that? Like, are people and other POC not allowed to engage in? And this is true for like Asians, Latinos, like all kinds of groups that might have a problem with this. And maybe even white people who are playing this like white cuck shit to a Black dominant person. Like, maybe they are also betraying their race.
Some may say that or whatever. So, yes, the collective voice is always something that is in the back of my mind. And I feel like Black people and, you know, other POC should be able to engage in any form of pleasure, any form of play that brings them pleasure, as long as it's safe and consensual. However, a part of me is like, keep that shit within the community. Which is hard to do, like, if you want to do it with white people.
Wait, what do you mean keep it within the community?
Like, it's like, you know, it's like we can see, you know, the deviant shit that we do, but you can't let the white people see it.
But when it comes to race play, they have to be
part exactly of it, so. That's the problem.
So are you
therein
suggest-
lies the conundrum. I don't know.
Okay, so are you suggesting that like maybe Black people need to put on white face and play?
Yeah.
it would not work.
I know it wouldn't work. That would be preferred.
Like, come on, nigga, you're not fooling me. I know you Black. You're not playing the role right.
Like, so do we talk about Miami in this episode?
We talk about that in the next episode.
Okay. But one of the things that was happening, you know, so there was a group of podcasters. This is going to be really brief. Group of podcasters. We went out for this event in Miami, and there was a small group of the group, a subgroup, that was just Black people and mixed couples. And like, you know, we're getting information about what we needed to do and where we needed to be and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, look, like, we got to be on point. Like, we cannot, for the collective, in front of all these white people, we can't be fucking up. And so, and that's how That's how I feel about this.
You were so funny. You had me dying because I was like, I'm gonna get on this boat because it was a party on the yacht. I'm gonna get on this boat and turn up. And you were like, Bomber, you better shut that shit down. You ain't gonna be turning up.
I was like, this ain't no turn up shit.
Act right in front of these white people.
Right. You gonna act like a good Negro with good manners in front of all these white people. Gonna have us looking crazy.
I was gonna put on my Debo t-shirt.
Not see. So that the Black collective, and maybe this is probably my own shit, but that is always something in the back of my mind. And so when I think about race play and those scenes, I mean, I think that's the part of it that really troubles me, is because yes, there will be some white people who will be respectful and understanding of, you know, the pleasure and the power exchange, but then there will be other white people who will see these scenes and get the wrong motherfucking idea.
Right.
And they're the problem.
Yes. They fuck it up for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so I think when I had originally thought of this, I was on the side of like, yo, if it's consensual, then, you know, people should be able to do whatever they want to do in their own bedrooms. And there are some experts in this area that would argue that it's not like we can't really just break this down to consent, because it gets really complicated, because consent can actually be used as another manipulative tool. Did I say that right?
Mm-mm.
Manipulative mm-hmm. tool. That unfortunately can reflect the power dynamics for which race play is based on. So, for example, one of the things about race play that kind of scares me a bit is, you know, we're living in a world where monogamy is becoming much less popular, and people are like starting to engage in these, you know, quote unquote, deviant sexual activities like swinging and BDSM. And I, as a Black person and as a person of color, have some concerns about the possibility that race play can become a mainstream practice, because at that point, there is a risk that that lines can get blurred between consensual and non-consensual. So let's say that this was a moneymaker. Like, mm-hmm. this could be a moneymaker. Like, what was the movie we saw? Antebellum?
Yeah.
Which was an extreme example. But for those of you who haven't, actually, let me not even spoil the film. I'll just say, if there was money to be made from an amusement park or a club where there were a bunch of white dominant persons and Black submissives mm-hmm. can come in and they can engage in this kind of play, I would have some real concerns about that becoming popular. Even if it was consensual between those involved, you know, you think about the people that they might hire to run these places.
Mm-hmm.
It's their job. Is it consensual to be like subject and to be witness to these acts for people that are working in these places? You know, capitalism can get really scary.
Yeah.
And if something is profitable, I think the lines between consent and non-consent can be blurred. Also, like, when somebody has agreed or consented, to what degree do they have the freedom to rescind that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we've seen that play out in some pretty negative ways just in among heterosexual play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking vanilla. And so who has the power of deciding, or who has the power in, you know, being believed by law enforcement if there was a miscommunication?
Ooh, Jesus.
All right. So So yeah, I think this is like playing with fire. Although I think, you know, if people know what they're doing and they're in controlled environment, and again, they are constantly revisiting like how they're feeling about the situation and all that stuff, you know, I'd say have at it if people know what they're doing. And, you know, and let me just say, people who do know what they're doing in the BDSM community are some of the strongest communicators. Like, they are listening all the time. They are very clear about rules and boundaries. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times you don't think the submissive person has power, but they are often the ones who have decided on what the rules are. Mm-hmm. And the Dom has lots of responsibility in these arenas. So I just want to say there are experts that are doing this work and know what they're doing. But again, this is dangerous stuff. This is like playing with fire. So motherfuckers need to know how to handle fire. All right. So just to wrap this up a little bit. So there are some things that we have heard about race play. There was a podcast we were listening to on our way to South Carolina. And there were some things that came up, and I just wanted to acknowledge them. So this was a podcast. I'm not going to say what the title of the podcast was. I can't even remember what it was, but it was a topic on race play. In the middle of my research, I was just coming across different podcasts about it. And I don't know, these motherfuckers didn't know what they were doing, but whatever. So one of the things I heard was that race play can be a form of healing for some Black people who pursue it. So I think these were like sex workers saying that some of the Black men who are in these submissive roles can this might be a form of healing for them. And I was wondering if you had a reaction to that.
I mean, if I get to whoop a white person, maybe. if there is a reversal in power dynamic, I think possibly. Mm-hmm. But no.
Yeah. So I think when it comes to race play, when people say it's a form of healing, when I hear that, I'm just like, how do you know that? Like, do you know it's a form of healing because they feel good afterwards?
Feels good after a nut. It don't mean I've been healed.
I mean, you would feel good if I shot heroin in your veins too. You'd feel pretty good after I did that. Like, you'd feel good if I gave you some crystal meth. Like, just because it makes them feel good in that moment doesn't mean it's a form of healing. It could actually be an ongoing problem for them. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this is always the case. I'm just saying just because it gives them a nut and gives them satisfaction doesn't mean that it's healing.
And I don't know that they're in the position to make that determination.
Right. These aren't exactly psychologists.
Right.
Other thing we heard was that any Black man who gets off from being submissive in any way has some form of identity issues. I really didn't like that.
Hoteps be hotep.
like Black men can't be submissive, my nigga. Like, come on, man. Like, can we live? Can we live? Like, if I want to get spanked, like, let me get spanked. It has nothing to do with like me hating myself and my male identity. Like, this sometimes
this is like where like the toxic masculinity comes in. And you know, they be talking about like dudes can't order appetizers.
Right. Like, right. I can't order a salad. Like, damn, we don't all like ribs, even though I like ribs, but I'm like saying ribs. Like,
but you'll eat a salad. I mean, there's nothing wrong with salads. Salads aren't gendered. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's just toxic masculinity. It's perfectly fine for anybody, any man of any race, to be submissive.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to admit, like, to this day, some of my go-to categories for porn are actually like Black men piping out white girls, like Blacked. Blacked is one of my, but Blacked, no, actually, let me step back. Like, Blacked .com, like, they produce some really good porn, but it's all like Black men piping out white girls. Mm-hmm. But it's not just that, like, it's really well shot and shit. Like, it's HD, it's fucking beautiful. They hire some of the best actors, like you would like watching it. Mm-hmm. Although, no, you don't like watching interracial porn, so it's fine. all right. Final question, I think. Should we care if some desires, just building off of what we were just talking about, if some desires and fantasies is coming from a dark place in the lifestyle, should we care? Like people who enjoy, for example, getting humiliated, being like... Like people, like black men who enjoy being humiliated, or black women, that being rooted in self-hate, or possibly rooted in self-hate, or women who enjoy rape play, maybe they were victims of past sexual assault. Jewish people who enjoy submission to a dom who's dressed in Nazi attire. Like, should we care if this is like dark and traumatic? Like, do we have room for that? Like, I'm really like wondering about that.
Like, who is we?
People who are like in the lifestyle playing, like,
no,
you know,
no, like I think that everybody should I think that everybody should explore their fantasies and where they stem from, you know, what generates them, their desires. Just everybody should be about self-reflection and awareness and self-exploration for your desires and your needs and your wants. In the playroom, like, that ain't got nothing to do with me,
right?
Like, I don't have the room or space. That's not what we're here for.
Yeah, because first of all, if I find out you're doing something in the playroom, because there are things that we have witnessed, and this is a question I have for you. Are there times where you've seen something, like whether it be a woman or a man, like the kind of play that they enjoy or the kind of things that you've seen them do in the playroom, that you thought to yourself, I wonder if there's something going on with that girl, given that she has that fetish? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you see someone who's like, who just likes being spanked and likes being choked and smacked in the face or some shit like that. There's something I witnessed in the lifestyle. I'm not going to say what it was because it's too specific. But every time I see it, and I've seen it multiple times, I'm like, I wonder if there's something going on with that girl.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause she has a very specific fetish, and I'm just like, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, if I find out it came from a dark place, I'm just not going to want to see it again, and I'm not going to want to engage with it again.
Mm-hmm.
But ignorance is bliss. I'm going to end this episode by saying, or I'm going to end this topic rather by saying, no kinky person, a quote from the book, but no kinky person wants to refuse their sexual desires on the basis of political correctness, but no decent person wants their partner to feel fetishized for their race.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, I did have another last question. I don't know if you had an answer to it, though. So is there a yucking yum barrier? When is it crossed for you? So
in we general always, or so we, specific to race?
No, this is in general. So stepping back from race, like we always say, don't yuck anyone's yum. But I feel like there's a barrier. Like I feel like there's a point where somebody's yum is so yucky to you that you can't quite engage with them.
Well, yeah, well, absolutely. Like, there are things that are just not for me. Like, we started out this episode or this topic that, you know, race play is just not something that I'm interested in. I'm also not interested in any play that involves taboo body fluids.
Right. So I'm saying, like, there are things that you're not interested in, and I'm not asking about those. I'm asking about something that not only you're not interested in, but the fact that the person that you might be engaging with is interested in, that you get shut off from that person. Like, you can't quite engage them. You don't even want to know them as friends. You don't want to talk to them. Like, that's, like, I think when you yuck someone's yum, you're like, you're judging them, and you're like telling them what they're doing is disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like there are times where you hear about something and in your head you're like, that's fucking gross, and I don't even think I can dialogue with this person without throwing up. Like, I think I want to know about that barrier.
Oh, if I know that like a white person has engaged in race play and used the N-word with a hard R with a black person, no.
You're done.
I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. Same with me. Like I can't even talk to you. Like you know, I cannot do it.
No.
Same if you're like that Nazi play shit. I just I can't. I will not. If you do anything involving, like, if you're into golden showers, I'll let that slide. I can have a conversation with you. I can have an R. Kelly conversation with you. If you're into golden showers, but if you're into that brown shit,
no,
I can't. Like, you're just like, oh, you know, I like getting shitted on. I cannot talk to you. Mm-mm. Like, the bomber is saying right now, if that's what you're into, just know I can't. Because every time I look at you, I'm just going to think of a pile of shit.
which is fine. Like you enjoying that is fine. Like, I don't have a problem with you enjoying that. I just don't want to be a part of anything that you got going on.
I don't even want to be a part of you. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Like I'm not, I get that. What you're saying is politically correct. I'm really getting raw here. Like, if you're into that, I literally think there's something wrong with you. And I think that I'll get infected by whatever that shit is if I'm in your presence. That's, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how I look at that. So that's the barrier for me when it comes to shit and when it comes to like being like a dom like race play person. I cannot. Or a white one in particular. Maybe that's racist. I don't know.
Now, if there is a white man out there that wants me to be his fin dom, listen, you know our phone number. Hit me up. I will drain you, little pig.
Will you? I feel like you got to take some BDSM classes first. That's right.
Are there classes? I will take a class.
Yes, there is a shitload of classes. What? There are people. I'll give you some resources. Actually, we'll have some of them in the show notes. So check those out. But yeah, we'd like to hear what your feelings are about race play and your reactions to this topic. Email us at blackandkinkylifestyle@gmail.com. We want to take a moment to say a few things about APG. One, they are looking for party promoters. So APG is looking for sexy outgoing couples that be interested in hosting regular meet and greets in their area. So check out APG for that. And just sign up or send a message that you're interested. It's good to know that they are engaging some of their users in spreading the word. Just want to give a few Patreon shout outs to Renee B, Dez, Carlos, Raft, Big Meat Main, just trying to be real, Bedroom Bliss, Marcus, Candy Rain, Melody, Raven, Blazing Couple, Metri, AMCD, D, Lene, R&R, Renee, Vision, Rizzy, Jeremy, Mike, Gill, Texas Bama, Redonia, Clifton, Brown Girl, Silverback, Mr. B, Chadwick, and Ricky. Thank you for all of your support. You guys helped us get our lives together and buy some really needed marketing materials because we were like bare bones. And tax season is coming up, so we're going to be fucked up for a while. So these Patreon funds helped out with getting our BNK material together. All right, so let's move on.
Get ready for some Facebook fuck shit.
So there's a question posted, and the question was, what is your most embarrassing sex moment? And this dude responded, nutted while putting the condom on.
I want to know what the chick looked like.
I was like, how does that happen? How does that happen? I don't know. I don't have a penis. So how does that happen? How you nut while you're putting the condom on? Like, can you get that aroused?
First of all, if you're putting the condom on, you have to be aroused. Well, so I know that. You have to be like really aroused. So that's actually a risk zone. So when your dick is like rock hard and you're ready to fuck, like it's like almost like red alert, like because you have to continue to be ready to fuck after you put the condom on. because there's a risk that it can go soft. But you also don't want to get too excited because this shit might happen. So you have to dance a fine line between being too aroused and not being aroused enough to get that condom on and continue doing what you gotta do. Being a man carries a great deal of responsibility, Belle. You take for granted that all you have to do is open your legs and make sure your pussy is wet, which you can do with both lube that is readily available in just about every drugstore and 7-Eleven, and you can just use spit to make your shit wet. See, niggas gotta make sure their head is right, and yeah, but I've never done no shit like that.
I would have left.
You would have left after you nutted in the condom.
Yes, like, I would have left.
Would you not be like flattered at the fact that he got so turned on and aroused by you that his body literally exploded?
No.
Damn, it's rough out here for us. It's rough.
I'm packing my shit. I'm leaving.
You know, if I nutted while putting a condom on, I would just lie and say that shit broke. The shit broke. The condom broke.
But guess then you would have a whole out. Refractory period.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you get that excited, your refractory period should be pretty. Short.
Oh, okay. You know, I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I got some questions about this. But nutted while putting the condom on. That's some, like, American Pie shit. For real. Like, this nigga nutted twice. I think he might have did it three times before. Yeah. So you wouldn't give nobody in the lifestyle another chance after he did this? Actually, premature ejaculation has not been a problem in the lifestyle at all. I haven't heard Mm-mm. that be a thing.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, because there's a lot that needs to happen before ejaculation. So I got questions. Yeah, this guy might have a problem. Might need to read that new male sexuality book I talked about in the last episode.
Speaking of which...
Okay, so it's time for Bomber's Bougie Broadcast. So, Belle, this was your idea. So, why don't you explain what this new segment is all about?
Bomber's Bougie Broadcast is a new segment where he shares his observations on art, news, politics, culture, history, or science. This is motivated perhaps because I fall victim to random thoughts that Bomber has throughout the day because he spends so much time reading and researching and just reflecting on his own experiences. So I thought that he should share some of those with y'all.
The Bomber's Bougie Broadcast.
So, first entry of Bomber's Bougie Broadcast. So I'm hoping that you guys like this. Tell me what you think about it. But this might be a short one. So according to this entry I titled "The Smell of Revelations."
Okay.
The smell of revelations. So according to Amanda Luderman, a psychotherapist who specializes in sexuality, there is, quote, no question, end quote, that vaginal odors can be arousing. Quote, it's not supposed to smell like skin, an arm, or an elbow. It's supposed to smell like the inside of a person's otherwise unseen parts. That's the intimacy of it. And many people are turned on by sniffing genitals precisely because the scent is 100% natural. So it can bring up primal animalistic urges, said Galen Faust, a kink-positive sex therapist and fetish sex educator. Now, every time my face comes near a vulva, there is a distinct smell. A smell that does not repeat itself in any other context. Whenever I smell it, my brain immediately thinks back to the first time I smelt it. The first time as a young man I was invited into the nether regions of another woman. The time I was in a small West African village and my status as an African American from the free world gave me enough clout to make it into the bedroom of a fine, homegrown African queen. But the link between the sense of smell smell and memory reminds me time and time again that of the smell of intimacy, the smell of skin that is often covered and hidden from the world, the smell of revelation.
That was very poetic.
Yes. Now, you know what actually motivated this? Mm-hmm. So you got me some like ball deodorant for mm-hmm. my birthday. And I was telling you, like, when I use the deodorant, like when you smell, like it comes in like a lotion form. So mm-hmm. you just, you know, take it and just rub it on your balls or whatever. And it is a scentless lotion. You can't mm-hmm. smell, it smells like lotion kind of, but when you put it on, that scent goes away. So like the first time I put it on, I had it on for a while, and you know, had my underwear on throughout the day. And you know, when I went to take a leak in the bathroom, I just kind of tested it. So you know, fucking put my hand on my balls, and then I smelt it, mm-hmm. and I was like, "Holy shit! There is no fragrance at all. Mm-hmm. There's no fragrance, no scent of this lotion. It is just my balls." Like, that's what it smells like. Like, yeah. I know, like, that smell, that smell is nowhere else on my body. Mm-hmm, like, it's mm-hmm. only there. And it reminded me that anytime I go down on a woman in the lifestyle, and anytime I go down on you, and anytime I've gone down on any woman, like, the smell, like there's some women that apparently don't have a scent, like they don't smell like anything, and I don't like that. I haven't run into those women, mm-hmm. but I hear that people tell me that there's some women that don't smell like anything, and I don't like that. Like, I need to smell something. Mm-hmm. Like, and the thing is that anytime I go down on a woman, or anytime I have, I smell her, and there's no degree of scrubbing, cleaning, douching, no degree of anything that can get rid of that natural odor. Like, it's in your DNA. That mm-hmm. smell is your DNA. And anytime I smell it, it reminds me that, oh, this is a part of you that like the world doesn't get to see. Mm-hmm. And that's like the smell. It smells like intimacy. And I love that smell. I don't know if people out there know what I'm talking about. Do you know what I'm talking yes. about? Like, do you, like, so when you go down on a guy, do you know the scent, that does he have a scent, and what is it that you think about that scent?
I don't know that I've paid that much attention to it. Because a lot of times I think that guys are, which to be fair, is makes sense, are trying to make sure that their balls are clean. So a lot of times it smells like soap. Like, it smells like Irish Spring.
So do you, I mean, do you like that smell when it smells like soap, I guess is the question. I mean, it, like, not so I mean, much. Okay.
No, so, I don't particularly care for the soapy smell, because it's not like, it's a clean smell, but it's not like a sexy smell, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. But I do like, and then see, and then we're talking in the context of lifestyle. So then oftentimes they've been wearing condoms. And I definitely don't like how latex smells or tastes, for that matter.
This is important.
It's gross. It's really gross. And so, but when I'm like sucking your dick, I enjoy that. Yeah.
You enjoy the sucking of the dick, but like your sense of smell. I mean, you have to breathe through your nose, right? Like, this is actually a really important question, because yes. like because you talked about how difficult it is to suck dick. I mean, we talked about this in our band chat, and I had nothing to, like, after you explained it to me, because I always thought licking pussy was like fucking trying to like figure out the formula to creating an atomic bomb. And but when you like broke it down as far as how difficult it is to suck a dick, I was like, oh, well, I'm never going to know what that's like. So I'm just,
So into that point, like, so focused on many different things at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm assuming including your breathing. So you have yes. to breathe out of your nose, which is something I think is different for guys. Like, I don't have to breathe out of my nose if I'm going down on a chick. Like, my mouth is usually open.
Right.
And, you know, I like the idea of inhaling vaginal energy through my mouth. But like, given that you have to breathe out of your nose because your mouth is full of dick, how do you not think about this more than like we do? Like, you have to smell.
Yeah, that's what I said. Mostly smells like soap or condoms, mm-hmm. usually. Mm-hmm. And I haven't smelt a dick besides yours in over a year. So.
Well, all right. Well, let's get a little personal here. Okay. Uh-huh. So you smelled my dick. Like, I have some bad days and good days, I guess. I mean,
you never had a bad day.
Okay, I'm feeling good about myself right now.
Yeah, I don't think I've been like, oh, his dick is fun. His balls are funky. I cannot recall a time where I've gone down on you and you've been like, funky.
Actually, I'm going to admit that I have an obsession with being fresh down there before I engage in sexual activity. Like,
yes. Which is good, which is important. So it's always been a clean, I would say, skin-like scent.
Okay.
Which is pleasurable.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to, like, ask our listeners to share what their experiences have been with smelly genitals or not-so-smelly genitals, or what you enjoy about the smell of genitals. But right now, before we close out this episode, I just wanted to acknowledge a DM that we got right before we recorded.
You're actually going to put this in the episode, okay.
Yeah. Is it weird? Somebody, I hope they were trolling. Somebody asked, is it weird? Somebody DM'd us on Instagram.
Yeah.
Is it weird for when a mom asks her son to buy her sex toys, then for her to ask if he would make a mold for her? Short answer, yes, it's weird. It's fucking weird and it's fucking creepy. And I hope that wasn't real. So I'm going to move on.
Yeah, I said what I was looking at what I said, and I said it's definitely outside the ordinary.
Should have said, nigga, don't fucking text us no dumbass questions like this no more, man.
I be trying to be nice.
What the fuck kind of question is this? Yes, it's weird. You know it's weird. That's why you asked the question, nigga. What the fuck? Can I get a mold of your dick, son?
Yeah,
the fuck is that all about?
Maybe because it's like his daddy's. I don't know.
Oh, my God. See, we have a son. And I would be happy. I would be very, very happy if he grows up to have a big dick. Like, I would be very pleased about that. If it's bigger than mine, I'm not going to be jealous. But I'm just going to be like, you know what? You probably got it from your mom's dad or something. or my dad, actually. So anyway, that wraps up this episode. Yo, listen, this was a heavy topic. I hope you guys learned something from it. I'm certainly learning a lot. Again, we're not experts on this.
We are not experts.
And I hope this gave you some insight. I know I've been challenged by some of my assumptions when it comes to race play. But yo, let us know what your feelings about it are. And now listen to the bell tell you about how to get in contact with us. Peace out.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. Please do check us out on Twitter and Instagram at BlackNKinky. You can also find us under the same name on Cassidy, APG, Amore Getaways, and Patreon. Check us out on Facebook and YouTube under Black and Kinky Lifestyle. Feel free to email us at BlackNKinkyLifestyle@gmail.com or call and leave a voice message at 937-462-0744. Bye. Black and kinky, black and kinky, black and kinky lifestyle.